going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of The Jump. A little bit of a college basketball weekend recap. Talk about some of the stuff that I didn't really get to go on a deep dive on over the weekend and my instant reaction. It was a late Saturday, coaching, wedding, watching basketball. I was filming that in during the UCLA-Gonzaga game, which ended up being good stuff too. So that one, there was a lot that I didn't get to hit on. So I'll talk about mainly one team I want to take a deep dive on. Maybe not dissect the entire program of them, but they need a specific highlight. The AP poll just came out. Nothing really changed a whole lot, but I'll mention a couple of the teams in there that are getting some traction, talk about some games to watch and stuff. And then I have one topic that I want to talk about that I've seen a lot of people on social media talk about, from big media people to YouTube comments on certain stuff. So I just want to highlight that and ask that question, and you all can leave your comment below on that topic. But I'll start out with Nebraska Bowl. The Nebraska Cornhuskers are officially legit. Now, I'm not going to go as far as saying basketball school. Dylan Raiola did just hit the portal, so I don't know how that, fares for Nebraska fans. I don't know how that whole relationship goes. It was also speculated for a while. They fired his pops and everything. So, nonetheless, Nebraska is phenomenal. What Fred Hoiberg has done for the Cornhuskers has been amazing. And they are not just a one-man show. It's not one of those type of things where it's like, give the guy the ball and clear out. This team is legit. And it's awesome because also his son is a very, very key point in it. Sam Hoiberg, who sits at 6 foot even, fun to watch. He goes out there and plays well. Mast, Sanford, Lawrence, the team is loaded with talent, and they play super, super well together. And it's, like I said, it's not just a one-man show. It's a everybody collective group going out there, going to war together, and their offense is incredible. They put everybody at a disadvantage is what it feels like to me. Like they make it very, very difficult. They're averaging just south of 84 points a game right now, making everything very, very difficult. Now the Illinois game over the weekend felt like the official stamp of approval. They had beaten Oklahoma in a 105-99 game, Kansas State in an 86-85 game, Creighton dominated, Wisconsin dominated. Both those felt like, okay, yeah, they're here. But then the official welcome stamp of approval at Illinois over the weekend, where Sanford has one of the best first halves ever. I think he had somewhere in the mid-20s at half. And he was completely dominant in this game there for that first half, and then he cooled off a little bit late in it. But nonetheless, he set them up very good. And Jamarcus Lawrence, I think it was the Field of 68 interview I saw on Twitter, that he thought he was going to go for 50. But he did not. He cooled off, but the rest of the team picked it up for him. And he finishes with 32 points. He's been just very, very good all year. This team effort for this one had them jump big time in the AP poll, but for good reason. I think Illinois is still a legit team. I don't think there's any type of panic button for the Illini. They're now 8-3. They have a couple tough losses, but like the Tennessee win is what proves to me that they can be what we all expected. And I think they're still right there. And they're a team that I feel like I could see make a run in the tournament. They're averaging just south of 88 points, but with how good Kylan Boswell has been every game, really, he's been spectacular. Stojakovic has had games. Wagler has really performed in big time spots. So Illinois is going to be fine. I think this says more about Nebraska being officially here. And I talked about it on the instant reaction to Saturday's games and stuff, that maybe they are in the top of that next tier, where I said maybe they're not in the Michigan State, Michigan, Purdue category, but maybe they're at the top of the next one over teams like Illinois and I don't even know who else comes to mind for that tier. But nonetheless, they're right there, and they're snipping at the top of that second tier, where when they play these teams, we'll see what they can do. And it's going to be really, really fun. Like I said, the offense is spectacular. I do want to play I had seen it. I didn't really have time to get it uploaded or whatever. So at this point, I will take one pause just to play for you the buzzer beater call from Nebraska's radio team.
Along the baseline, except for Sam, out into the timeline. 5 seconds to go. Sam drives the ball, kicks it. It is Lawrence, puts it up. God! Ah! 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 2 seconds to go. Inbounds play. I'm going to pass out. The game is over. Nebraska wins it.
That was an all-time call there. And I believe his name is Kent Pavelka. If I'm pronouncing that wrong, I apologize. But 41-year-old Nebraska basketball play-by-play guy has like an all-time call right there. It's incredible. I'm going to pass out. It is a great, great statement. These are the guys that I feel like in America we must protect. These guys that his life depends on a Nebraska basketball game and Nebraska ball and how they end up doing it. Like that call is just all time. When I saw that, I was like, this is perfect. Because I wasn't able to watch that game live. I went back and watched it later, but I heard that call before I even watched it, and I was like, this is perfect. This is the most perfect call. But I just wanted to highlight Nebraska ball. They have been spectacular, 11-0 for the first time in school history. Yes, they have not ever won an NCAA tournament game. They are 0-8 in tournament appearances. Most recently, 2 years ago, against Texas A&M, and in Keisei Tominaga, who took the country by storm, they came up short in a game against A&M. And if I remember correctly, I want to say like Wade Taylor got hurt at the end of that game or something. And there was like a basket. It was like somebody that like hit some threes late that kind of. But Nebraska, you had a fan in me at that point. Because it's not like it's just a complete underdog story, but it is in a way. But it's just like the passion and like the rooting for a team that hasn't gotten to a certain point, getting to see that is going to be spectacular. So I'm excited to see once they get into March. Now, the one fear, and I hate to be the guy that's just like, I'm usually a sunshine pumper, and I don't want to be the guy that's just negativity. I don't want to see them like lose certain games, and then they get to like a 7 seed, and then they lose to a 10 or like a 5. 12, like I don't want to think about the chances of them getting upset. Nebraska ball is going to win a tournament game this year. I'm marking it, calling it right now. I want to see it, and I don't get paid for this, so I don't have the pockets to do what John Rothstein said he would do, where he said he would go to Lincoln, drop his card, and let happy hour go on and pay for drinks if they win a tournament game. I don't have that. But I will buy a shirt, a hoodie, some sort, and I will rep them because it's been awesome to follow them so far. They're going to be fun to follow the rest of the year, and they're going to get that tournament win. Calling it now. I'm very, very excited to see this Nebraska team go out and against all odds, go 1-8 in tournament appearances and get that first win. So, Nebraska ball, shout out, hats off. Incredible start to the year, 11-0, first time in school history. Good stuff. Can't wait to follow. Now, the question that I was proposing was one, like I said, I saw it in YouTube comments. I saw big names in college basketball media talk about it. I've seen many, many people talk about this. At this point in the season, do you take Michigan or the field? Well, actually, I'll shift it to this. Because Michigan is the betting favorite. So it's a little bit different, but I will shift it to Michigan and Arizona or the field. Michigan is the betting favorite to win the national championship as of right now, but Arizona is the current number one team in all of college basketball. So the coaches poll has Michigan. Arizona is in the AP poll as the top team, and most of the computer rankings will tell you these are the two teams. Nothing else, except for I think the Massey rankings are the only one that has something different, and it's Duke. So the question that I would be proposing is Michigan and Arizona or the field to win the national championship come April. Now, I think that is an absolutely insane question for a few different reasons. Yes, Michigan and Arizona have been incredibly dominant for different reasons. Arizona has set college basketball history so far with 5 ranked wins through 9 games. Now, you can argue You know, Florida's at 23 now in the new AP poll. UCLA's out, but they were 15 when they played them. UConn had two injuries. They played Auburn at home. Alabama was, I mean, they went on a run. Alabama went cold. You can be pessimistic about them. You can also be pessimistic about Michigan. Yes, they have absolutely destroyed teams that they've played, but they haven't played a ton of them. It took 1-point win versus Wake Forest, 4-point win versus TCU. Yes, they killed San Diego State, Auburn, and Gonzaga. And then they can kind of continue their tear a little bit, but there's not a great overall look at it. They have, two ranked wins? So, I don't know. Or no, three ranked wins, I believe. Yes, three. Or no, it's just Auburn and Gonzaga. So, nonetheless, both these teams you can poke holes in and discredit them for what they've done. But overall, they have looked dominant. I mean, Michigan's margin of victory, unbelievable. Arizona, not even slipping up a single second, it feels like. They're down at halftime versus Alabama, and then come out and Braden Berry's leading the break, and they look spectacular. So, the question is, Arizona and Michigan or the field? That's the question proposed. Those two, some people feel like they have separated themselves, but if you're telling me I get the field, this is what you're telling me I'm receiving. Duke, who is undefeated, who has one of the best wins in the entire country with a road win at Michigan State. Undefeated Iowa State, who has beaten Purdue by a billion in Mackey, sitting at an undefeated record. UConn, who has a coach that has won two national championships, had one down year-ish, comes back with an absolutely stacked roster, has one loss to the number one team in the entire country with a starter and a six-man out, essentially. Purdue, who is 10-1 with one loss to the number four team in the country. Gonzaga, who's 10-1 with the one loss being to Michigan. Yes, it wasn't close, but I still think if they play again, there's a world where it's a lot different. 10-1 Houston, 9-1 Michigan State, 9-1 BYU. That the rest of those 10 of the top 10, I feel like those other 8 are very much live. But really there's kind of a big four, and it's the undefeated teams, but right outside of them, I still am very, very, very high on UConn. UConn is going to be very, very good. Now, like I said, they have the one loss. All these teams have, like, one loss that's, like, kind of the one, like, flare-up on the schedule that they have. Give me the field. I can't believe that there's been a legit debate between Michigan and Arizona or the field. It's crazy. Yes, Arizona and Michigan, they have been the best two teams all year. Certainly. But Duke is right there. Iowa State is right there. UConn is right there. And then I think there's a little bit of a drop for the rest of the top 10, but I still think that top 10 can win it. A lot of really, really good teams out there, and that question just kind of blows my mind a little bit. It's wild. So comment below if you think I'm crazy for saying give me the field, or if I should be, give me Michigan and Arizona. That's kind of the questions to this point that I think are being asked, and that's the proposed question so far. New AP poll just dropped, like I mentioned. Not a whole lot changed. Credit to Georgia for jumping in. That 25 spot is just funny because we'll end up seeing that change all year long. But nonetheless, they're now in it. Now, some of these teams, Florida drops behind St. John. St. John sitting at 22. I do want to highlight Vanderbilt up at 13. Yes, they haven't played the hardest schedule in the world. They play Memphis this week. Probably not going to be the hardest game ever. They've kind of killed everybody they've played, and they're just sitting at undefeated. But yes, they don't have a great resume of who they've beaten. They're going to be fun to follow, though. They have been absolutely unstoppable is the only word you could say for them. Nebraska, who I mentioned, they are up to 15. Outside of those, I don't really know. I think Texas Tech, with the losses that they have, I think the committee – or not the committee, the AP poll voters are kind of saying with this, having them at 19, they're like, okay, yeah, these guys are still legit. They're just losing to a lot of top teams. So the top 10 right now is Arizona 1, Michigan 2, Duke 3, Iowa State 4, UConn 5, Purdue 6, Gonzaga 7, Houston 8, Michigan State 9, and BYU 10. So top 10 is loaded. Like I said, there's not a whole lot that really changed. I just wanted to make sure I jumped on today at some point, and then it just dropped right before I got on. So I wanted to mention that. Shout out to Georgia in the top 25. So the SEC continues to be not not even remotely close to what they were last year. But I think it's still going to be a very, very good conference overall. It's not the best conference. It's, I mean, there's a couple I think you could probably slide above that. But nonetheless, this team, this conference is not going to get 14 or whatever the number one was last year. I think they're going to get like solid 9 or solid 8. And those are going to be the teams that maybe they do rattle off a couple wins and the SEC looks promising again. But we will see once we get to that point. As of right now, there's 6 SEC teams ranked. Seven that are ranked. But it starts at 13. So like I said, it's not the top of the top. But behind that, you get a lot. With Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee, Auburn, Florida, and Georgia. So the SEC, obviously not where it was last year. Not going to be a generational conference and everything. But will be solid nonetheless. One of those SEC teams plays a game tomorrow night that is very, very important and a key game. I'll mention some of these games to watch for the week. We are officially out of the time where it feels like every single night you can turn on a like top 10 matchup, where credit to these schools and very, very thankful for them, because we've had absolute cinema to watch like every single night of the year, it's felt like. Not so much tonight. A lot of bye games in this stretch right here, right before Christmas and before getting into conference play for a lot of these conferences. I know the Big Ten started and stuff, but not a great run this week. So I listed 7 games that I really want to highlight. There's a few outside of that that are okay, but there's really a big 7 that I want to make sure I talk about. The SEC team I was referring to is the Tennessee Volunteers, who will be hosting the Louisville Cardinals. Tennessee 7-3, Louisville at 9-1 in Food City Arena in Knoxville. Tennessee went to Louisville last year. I was actually in attendance for that one. Tennessee gave belt. Zakai Ziegler had a lot of turnovers in the game, but kind of dominated the game with all the mistakes. That's all that I remember from it. I was like, this is Zakai Ziegler balling right now. But then you look up and he's got like 11 turnovers or something. It was crazy. But they killed them last year, and it was kind of PK saying the revival is not going to have just a cakewalk to rattle off 10 easy wins. We want to play tough teams early. Now, Louisville has lost to half of the SEC teams that they've played so far. I believe that's correct. I just made that stat up in my head because they played Kentucky and Arkansas. Yes, they've only played the 2. So they beat Kentucky and then lose to Arkansas in a game that the score looks a little bit closer than I think what the game indicated. But they go to Tennessee now as a favorite. Tennessee, I mean, they're down from what they've been. And Nate Amendt and Jacoby Gillespie are really the guys. This game, I feel like, is going to end up being a high-scoring battle where one team's going to have to just do their thing. And I think that's going to fit well for Jacoby Gillespie and for Nate Amendt. But for the rest of that roster, I just feel like Louisville's going to dictate what this pace looks like in this one. For Tennessee, they've been off for a bit. They lost to Illinois last weekend, I believe it was. They've been off. Now, they're well-rested, all this stuff. They've been on idle, big-time opportunity after a 3-game losing streak for the Vols, losing to Kansas, Syracuse, and Illinois. But now they welcome the Louisville Cardinals back in and see if they can win another one going in. But I feel like Louisville's going to dictate the pace. They kind of do that, and Tennessee's going to want to slow it down and take it slow, win a game in the 60s or 70s or something. But I feel like this one might get up into the 80s, and Louisville's going to dictate that. But I think Tennessee can hang with them. I think there's enough for the Vols to be able to hang in there and fare well in this one. Like Jacoby Gillespie, he's been leading them in points, but Nate Amendt has been right there behind him. Estrella, Carey's been great off the bench. Boswell's had good spurts and stuff. Like they're going to be fine. It's just going to be – it's not easy. And that's being showed by what Vegas says about this game, where they are currently a 1.5-point dog. Next one I want to mention, like I said, Vanderbilt and Memphis play. That's Wednesday. That one's going to be a fun one. But then it's like – I mean, there's not a ton throughout the rest of the week. Then you get to Saturday. CBS Sports Classic. This will always deliver because it's always at a time that I feel like there's not a whole lot going on. And it kind of loads the slate up right there. And there are some good games outside of it too. But Saturday on the December 20th, 12:30, St. John's and Kentucky playing. The Rick Pitino game, coaching against Mark Pope, his former team captain on the 1996 team, one of the best teams of all time. And Kentucky finally got off the mat a little bit and beats Indiana. But for St. John's, this is a very, very needed win after being highly rated in the preseason, losing to Alabama early, losing to Iowa State, and getting beat by Auburn. Not a lot of good wins on the resume. So this is a must-win for, I believe, both teams, honestly. We'll see if Jaden Quaintance plays. I'm not completely sure what the whole status is right now of that. I think he'll play in St. John's or Bellarmine, which is Kentucky's only other opponent before the new year. It's a big one. It's in Atlanta. St. John's replaced UCLA, who Kentucky was supposed to play, in the CBS Classic. They replaced them to make it more you know, firepower with this one. Two big names. It's Kentucky and St. John's. Going to be a blast. It's going to be a fun game. There's no line out for it right now, but I would lean St. John's. Even as a Kentucky fan, I would lean St. John's probably wins, but I'm holding out hope that the Cats can get it done. So Kentucky sitting at 7-4, St. John's at 6-3. I guess Kentucky, I don't really know who even has the better win out of the two. Kentucky's best win is by far Indiana. St. John's is Baylor and Ole Miss. Those are their claim to fame. So it's going to be a good game nonetheless, because it's two desperate teams that need something in non-con before getting into conference play and stuff. So big one at 12:30. Ohio State and North Carolina. This is the other game of the CBS Sports Classic. So 3 o'clock, Ohio State. Shout out Bruce Thornton for saving the day over West Virginia and Cleveland. Incredible shot to get the Buckeyes a win, sitting at 8-2 right now. This is a team that I feel like can run with it, just about anybody. They will be able to put up points. They've had some off nights, but they will be able to score nonetheless against some of these teams. Now they've lost to Pitt once again. They played Illinois kind of close, snuck out a win versus Northwestern recently, and then that West Virginia game where Bruce Thornton called game. So the Buckeyes have been solid, but really no big claim to fame victory. North Carolina, sitting at 9-1, has exceeded preseason expectations, as they were, I think, 25 in the preseason poll. 9-1. They have wins versus Kansas. They have the one loss to Michigan State. They went to Kentucky and won. They beat Georgetown in a great game overall, which they ended up pulling away late and looked really good in that one. This is going to be a fun game. I'm going to guess North Carolina is going to be like an 8-point favorite. That's just my guess. But Ohio State has a way of, it feels like, always performing well in these games. Like, they always just figure it out to be able to match up in these games and play well. And maybe that's just revisionist history, and maybe that's just been the last couple of years. But I feel like Ohio State always just figures something out, and they just play well against all these other teams in this matchup. Houston and Arkansas. So Arkansas continues their path of playing every team from the Elite Eight last year. It's unbelievable that they're doing that, but this is the Never Forget Tribute Classic. It's in Newark, New Jersey, at the Prudential Center. Houston and Arkansas. Houston, like I said, they've not been super, super impressive, but they've just done what Houston does. They just win games. They have the one loss to Tennessee. But other than that, they've played some games close and maybe played closer than you would have hoped. But I still believe in them as a legit national title team. And that'll come up we'll see if that happens with Arkansas, because Arkansas is a team that, if you're a national title team, you've got to beat them right now. That's what I kind of think. They lost at Michigan State early. They lost to Duke, but everybody loses to Duke. They beat Louisville, beat Texas Tech. They kind of need another confirmation victory. And then as for Houston, yes, they have a couple wins, but the Tennessee loss is a tough look on the schedule, as Tennessee has proven to not be elite, I would say. So a big win over Arkansas would be huge, and getting it in a neutral site game will be very, very helpful as well. Like not playing one directly at home, which it is kind of funny. I mean, these teams aren't super close on a map, but like, these are the funny neutral sites where it's like, oh, we could just, like, you know, go right here, where they're both kind of in that same region, and then they're like, oh, we'll just go up to New York. But Never Forget Tribute Classic. I mean, it's a cool little spot. So Prudential Center hosting a big time game on Peacock at 6:30. Auburn versus Purdue in the Indy Classic. This is another one. It's played at Gainbridge, but this is similar to the Alabama game being played in Birmingham against Arizona. It's the like quote unquote neutral site when it's essentially a home game. Like when my Kentucky Wildcats went up to Playing the Spokane Arena instead of playing at Gonzaga, and I think they called that neutral site when it was minutes away from campus. This is one of those. This is a makeshift neutral site. Number 21, Auburn, versus number 6, Purdue in Indy. If you're Purdue, this is the must win of all must wins, in my opinion. You get embarrassed by Iowa State. You bounce back a little bit with Minnesota and Marquette, but neither of those teams, they look fine, but not great. Now, they have the Alabama win. They have the Texas Tech win. But the Iowa State win kind of rubs a little dirt on the resume, in my opinion. So, being able to get this one as the last big game in your non-conference schedule, very, very key. The must win of all must wins. And I feel like for Auburn, they're sitting at 8-3. And outside of the Bethune-Cookman game, they've really looked pretty solid overall. They have the Houston loss, Michigan loss, Arizona loss. Like, none of those you're going to hang your head about. Those are all three top 10 teams. They're going to be perfectly fine. Just be able to battle in this game, and there's no moral victories, especially in the early career of Stephen Pearl. But I think if Auburn's able to duke it out and maybe be in this in under 10 minutes or something, I think that this is one that you can kind of not be ashamed about in a way. Duke and Texas Tech, the number 3 Duke Blue Devils, playing number 19 Texas Tech in MSG in New York. Now, these are the teams that I've talked about it with Arizona and Michigan. When are they going to lose? The same thing is going to happen with Duke. I'm like, where does Duke lose? Because they get into conference play after this one. If Texas Tech doesn't beat them, then you're looking at they play Lipscomb before that. Then they'll get into conference play, and they play Georgia Tech, Florida State, who's lost some bad games. They play at Louisville, yes. But if they win that one, you're looking at SMU, Cal, Stanford, Wake Forest. They host Louisville again. So, like, maybe there's one sprinkled in there, but, like, it's one of those things where you're like, where do they end up losing? Like, the Arizona and Michigan, those two teams could end up being ranked extremely high and undefeated for a very long time. Same thing goes for Duke, and this one is a big one for Texas Tech because they are also right there where it's a two-man show, very much a two-man show with JT Toppin and Christian Anderson, but they need a third to pop up and show. I thought it was going to be Lawan Watts. It hasn't been. It has at times. It's been Atwell at times. Petty has played well at times. Like, they've got to have somebody show up. It's literally the definition of a two-man show. Yeah, I just put up their statistics. Points, rebounds, and blocks, it's all JT Toppin. Assists and steals, it's Christian Anderson. They are the most two-man show of all time, and it's almost like, man, if they had a guy like Darian Williams, that would be spectacular for them. So, for Texas Tech, they don't really have... They lost at Illinois. They lost to Purdue. They lost to Arkansas. Their big win right now is Wake Forest or LSU. They're going to have to get one at some point. There's no bigger one than Duke at this point on your schedule because you'll play Arizona at some point in conference play. But other than that, it's kind of looking rough for your non-con. So this is a big one for both teams, and I think it's kind of Duke's like final test. It's like the meme of the Reaper or whatever, like knocking down each door, leaving a bloodbath. They've done that to everybody they've played, and the final door that they haven't opened yet is Texas Tech. That's what it feels like for Duke's non-con. And so here they go in their final one. That's at 8 o'clock on Saturday night in MSG, the Mecca. It's going to be awesome. And then this one I didn't really have on my list, but I'm going to be excited to watch it. It's 10:30, San Diego State and Arizona. San Diego State, the Mountain West has been good this year so far. Like, they have some good wins. They have the Troy loss that was, like, crazy, the double overtime. Then they lost to Michigan, and then they lost to Baylor. But other than that, they've fared well in these outings. So, getting to see them against a Arizona team, if they can keep that close, that's where I think a moral victory comes in, where if they could just battle for a while. Because it's in Phoenix, neutral site, once again. But it's going to be a fun one. It's going to be one of those that, as I'm reacting to the day of college hoops, I'll be watching that as I'm editing and everything. So it's going to be a fun weekend. Like I said, we're out of the schedule where it's just a gauntlet, and every single day you get like a top 10 matchup, it feels like, where the whole schedule is just cinema. We're out of that. We're away from that era, and we're in this spot where Saturday is going to be huge. Outside of that, it's not the best week of hoops that we've ever seen. So, but I'll still be tapped in. there's just not going to be too many to jump on here and talk about and stuff. But thank you for tuning in. Let me know which game you're most excited for. Let me know what you would take in the Michigan / Arizona or the field comment. I'm just curious what you all are thinking on that. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe. If you're new to the channel, welcome. Thank you for checking it out. If you're a college basketball sicko, which you probably are because you're watching this on a Monday or whenever you're tapped in, thank you. Welcome to the channel. Peace.